Modern Christendom twists, perverts, and ignores the many plain truths of the Bible. Over the last 2,000 years, it has counterfeited every true doctrine and replaced it with a cheap substitute. This has been possible because certain more difficult to understand passages can be easily misrepresented to say something they do not. It is these verses that invariably become the vehicle through which a false doctrine can be introduced, with almost no one able to recognize it all may have begun with a single wrong scriptural premise. Unaware of the most crucial rule of Bible study, most Bible students do not build their understanding by beginning with the clearest verses on any subject. Instead, they enter God's Word with preconceived ideas and search for passages that appear to support what they have assumed the Bible teaches. This makes them candidates for confusion and deception. Here are 10 more verses that Christianity ignores.
The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack, author of 80 books and booklets, editor-in-chief of The Real Truth magazine, read by countless and growing numbers in every nation and territory of the world. In a violent age full of war, famine, pollution, disease, disasters, and economic uncertainty, and ever-worsening bad news, answering life's greatest questions straight from the Bible and announcing the wonderful good news of the world to come. And now, David C. Pack.
The Apostle Peter stated that the Apostle Paul wrote some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Completely unaware of any of the rules of Bible study, but understanding how most people think, teachers and scholars can take advantage of the way certain parts of God's Word are written. This applies to verses beyond what Paul wrote. One of the greatest truths about which ministers have deceived billions is the gospel. This introduces the 11th verse, largely unnoticed by Christians, Mark 1, 14 and 15. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel." The most butchered teaching in the Bible is also the most fundamental. Different denominations have invented gospels of healing, salvation, and grace, to name a few. But the biggest false gospel is the one focusing on Christ, the messenger, instead of his message. Gospel means good news, and this news is far greater than today's wrong focus about Christ. The word gospel is found 101 times throughout the Bible. Sometimes it's alone or with kingdom, kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, not kingdom in heaven. Since kingdom is a King James term meaning government and of denotes possession, kingdom of God can be written as government of God or God's government. The gospel of the kingdom of God can be expressed as the good news of God's government. How plain. Jesus announced the good news that God's government was coming to earth. He did not speak about himself. Notice. Jesus said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory." God takes the truth of the gospel seriously. Paul warned the first century church and all Christians thereafter that some would pervert the gospel of Christ. He twice declared that any who do are cursed. This is a sobering warning. God demands the true gospel be taught. Jesus Christ and Christians through the ages were put to death for this message. Take the time to read this booklet, which is the true gospel. Christians are in training for positions in a new and different government. The 12th verse rejected by Christianity is Revelation 18:4. God commands, "Come out of Babylon, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues." Babylon means confusion. The true servants of God have come out of this world and its Babylonish religions, ways, and governments. They have left behind its teachings, division, strife, and confusion. Paul wrote, "Come out from among them," meaning the world, "and be you separate." Let's understand. Just before his crucifixion, Jesus reflected in a prayer a central principle to his disciples. "I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth." It is the truth that sets Christians apart or sanctifies them from everyone around them. They are not of this world and its ways, customs, beliefs, and traditions. They have come out of it, leaving all of its values, ideas, and philosophies behind. Christians cannot live in caves or as hermits. Some religious zealots misunderstand Christ and enter monasteries or retreats to avoid contact with people. Jesus never did this. He did not mean come out of the physical world, but rather its system of governments and religions. Christians practice and believe the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of God's word, not popular ideas, any of them. Although widely missed, the identity of the Old Testament God is found in the New Testament. This introduces the 13th passage Christianity just leaves out, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4. "They did all eat the same spiritual meat," ancient Israel, "and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." This is plain. Jesus Christ is the God of both the Old and New Testaments. In both Testaments, Jesus is described as the God who never changes. Read Malachi 3 and verse 6 and Hebrews 13, 8. New Testament teachings reflect the Old. In part 1, we saw the law of God, the Ten Commandments, is still binding on Christians today. What happens when we die, what sin is, the true gospel, and so many more doctrines are in complete agreement when compared to the Old Testament. If these verses were not ignored, they would point to the true God of the Bible and in turn to the primary purpose of the New Testament, the establishment and building of God's church. The 14th verse describes how Christ built one church, Matthew 16, 18. "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Stating it would never disappear, Jesus promised to build his church, singular, not the mass confusion of hundreds of fighting and competing churches, which seemingly cannot agree on anything. Your job is to seek out and find one church, Jesus' church. It is only from that church you will receive true spiritual nourishment, which will allow you to develop and grow in godly character. Now ask, why are you hearing these verses now, in this broadcast? Jesus built his church to carry out his commission, and only one fulfills all New Testament requirements. It is that church from which you are learning the truth, including about basic Bible verses. To understand God's church, read Where is the True Church and Its Incredible History. The 15th verse is Mark 2, 27 and 28. "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." No other doctrine is as widely accepted and staunchly defended in the world of traditional Christianity than Sunday keeping. Though few who profess to be Christian can agree on biblical teachings, they almost always agree that the Saturday Sabbath has been replaced by Sunday worship. To be accepted as mainstream, one must recognize Sunday. If asked which day is the Christian Sabbath, most answer Sunday. Some falsely believe Jesus rose from the dead that day, so we honor Jesus by observing Sunday. Numerous clever arguments exist as to why Sunday is supposedly the day Christians should assemble and worship God. This unbiblical practice has been in effect so long over 1,600 years and is so common that few are able or willing to recognize clear scriptures that reveal the true Sabbath day and its permanence. Most start with Sunday as the Christian Sabbath and then search for verses to support this idea, if they study at all, rather than beginning with an open mind and searching for clear passages on the subject, of which there are many. Even a quick study of the topic with an open mind will reveal the truth. Sadly, most are too steeped in the popular tradition of men to leave Sunday's powerful grip. How many times have you glossed over Mark 2, 27 and 28? Or have you assumed that since Jesus is Lord or Master of the Sabbath, he must have changed it from Saturday to Sunday? Be honest. Jesus' statement is simple to understand when one considers who created the Sabbath day. As the creator of all things, Colossians 1:16, and God of the Old Testament, Jesus sanctified the Sabbath. Let's read. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it, not Sunday, he had rested from all his work. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath because he created it and set it aside as a day of rest. No verse even hints that he designated Sunday, which is why he did not say he is Lord of Sunday. Some cite Matthew 12, a parallel account of Mark 2, as proof Jesus did away with the Sabbath. Yet Jesus was explaining that it is lawful for a person to satisfy immediate hunger on the Sabbath, as David did, even though it was not lawful for anyone other than the Levites to eat the showbread. 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 to 6, you may read. The Pharisees concocted numerous man-made regulations governing the Sabbath that made it a burden on people rather than a blessing. This is what Christ condemned, not the day itself. How do we know? Because the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Jesus Christ created the Sabbath for people to enjoy. The Sabbath is to serve man, not the other way around. The Pharisees made it into a day one must serve, thus making it a burden. The only difference today is that misguided religious leaders have made it of no effect at all. Resist shallow arguments that the Sabbath was only for the Jews or Jesus did away with it. This day has been in effect as holy time since the foundation of the world. Man has no authority to establish or take away time that God made holy. Many will argue they keep the Sabbath in their hearts or in Jesus. Similar to other plain Bible realities, like the kingdom of God, the Sabbath is spiritualized away. Human reasoning permits a person to keep the Sabbath as he or she sees fit, rather than as God commands. Read Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. What God wants is ignored. They make his law of no effect, just like the Pharisees. Recall part one of this series. To get full understanding, read Saturday or Sunday, which is the Sabbath. You will be surprised where Sunday keeping originated and who authorized it. The 16th verse virtually no one considers is Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This verse defines a true Christian. And a few verses earlier, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, get this, he is none of his. A Christian is one who has the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. How one acquires the Spirit of Christ begins in Mark, which we read earlier. Repent you and believe the gospel. One of Jesus' first commands is to repent, which means to change. This is the perfect summary of Christianity. It is a life of constant change, from a carnal mind to one taking on the character of God. As the second step in the Christian walk, it should now be clear why our opening verse about the gospel is crucial, that you must believe in the only gospel Christ preached, the kingdom of God. Peter's sermon in Acts 2 adds another element. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. One must be baptized to receive the Holy Spirit. Time and again, clear verses reveal the core teachings of the Bible.
The world to come will continue after this brief message. Discover more from David C. Pack. Visit our website, worldtocome.org. See the World to Come broadcasts. Read and order books, booklets, and articles, all free of charge. To continue learning about the topics covered in this broadcast, visit worldtocome.org today. Now back to David C. Pack.
The 17th passage Christians reject flat out is John 3:13. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The most universally misunderstood Bible truth is what happens when you die, whether one goes to heaven or hell for eternity or something else. Countless millions believe and hear their ministers preach that we must believe in Jesus so we can enter heaven and ride clouds, play harps, walk the streets of gold in front of the pearly gates, sit in rocking chairs, or just roll around heaven all day. Nearly everyone believes they will go to heaven upon death. Yet Jesus plainly declares no one has ascended there. No one means no one. Now notice what Peter stated. Let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. This is plain. We might ask, if David didn't make heaven, who did or who does? You might next wonder, if no one is in heaven, then what is a Christian's reward? Jesus stated, I go back to heaven to prepare a place for you. Most assume he's referring to preparing a place in heaven. Yet in the very next verse he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to earth and receive you unto myself, that where I am, on earth, there you may be also. Combine this with, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the truth is clear. The reward of God's saints is future rulership on the earth as kings and priests. Reading Revelation 5:10 makes this obvious. Right now, Jesus is in heaven preparing a kingdom for his people to inherit on earth. Christians will not join Jesus in heaven. He will come again to earth where they join him. So few understand this fundamental Bible teaching. This is because they ignore and reject plain scriptures. Will you believe the plain words of Jesus Christ? Will you believe his statement, no man has ascended up to heaven? To learn what can be your reward, to see an incredible picture, read the awesome potential of man. The 18th verse Christianity dismisses is John 3:3. Its explanation is longer. Jesus told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For one to see God's kingdom, he must be born again. There's no other way. This confused Nicodemus. He could not understand how a human being could experience a second birth. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is certainly a fair question, one that would naturally come to mind when learning one must be born a second time. It is widely taught and believed that to be a true Christian, one must be born again by religious experience. Millions of professing Christians define themselves as having undergone this experience, claiming it occurs when one accepts Jesus as Savior. Being born again is reduced to a feeling rather than an actual birth. A series of Jesus statements in John are used to support this popular teaching. First, Jesus expounds on his verse 3 statement. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water applies to baptism. being fully immersed in water, which symbolizes a person's old self being buried in a watery grave. The person is then raised from the water as a new man and is to live the rest of his life in obedience to God. In effect, such a person is born of water. This also refers to the physical birth common to all human beings. While in the mother's womb, a baby is surrounded and protected by a water-like liquid called amniotic fluid. This cushions the baby to keep it safe and protected from infection. Just before birth, this water breaks, signaling delivery will be soon. Everyone can say he has experienced this birth, but the next one is different. Jesus' mention of the Spirit references the moment of being born again or born of the Spirit. Again, most believe this happens when one accepts Jesus while they remain flesh and blood human beings. Jesus' next statement, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. How clear! This means it is impossible for a flesh and blood person to be born again. Those born of the flesh or of a woman are flesh, period. But those born of the Holy Spirit are spirit, period. Jesus removes all doubt. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You should not marvel either. Jesus compared those born again to wind. We can see and feel the effects of wind, trees swaying, debris being tossed through the air, etc., but cannot see wind itself. Likewise, when an individual is born of the Spirit, other human beings will not be able to see him because he will be composed of spirit, not flesh and blood. God is a spirit and cannot be seen. We have to ask, of those who claim to be born again, are any of them spirit beings? No, they are still flesh. Sadly, they wrongly assume they're born again despite Jesus' plain teaching. When is one truly born again? At the resurrection of the dead, when Jesus returns in full power and glory. Let's read. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's, get this, at his coming. Christians are born again at his coming, not before. What happens at the resurrection? Paul wrote, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the moment of Christ's return. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal body from human birth must put on immortality, a divine body at spirit birth. One verse prior, Paul had stated, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Those who believe they are born again and in the kingdom of God now, while in the flesh, err. Human beings cannot inherit God's kingdom before they have been changed, born again into spirit beings. Will you believe your Bible or cling to traditions of men? My extensive booklet, What Does Born Again Mean?, addresses every question you may have. The 19th verse ignored by Christianity is Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Understand, the events recorded in the book of Revelation are for God's servants to understand. Who are God's servants? They are those who obey him. This will become more clear. Mark 4 and Matthew 13 add understanding to how Jesus teaches. In both places, he explained that he spoke in parables so his servants would understand him, but others would not. Let's carefully read. When he was alone with only the disciples, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable, and he said unto them, not to others or the world as a whole, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Note exactly what Jesus said. Only his servants could grasp his real meaning. Others might think they do, but cannot. Jesus Christ never leaves his followers in the dark about matters he wants them to understand, but he does record them in ways that keep them hidden from the view of all others. This will help you see why so few understand a book that has been read by so many. Those who have God's Spirit will understand the book of Revelation and all truth. Read Acts 5:32 and John 16:13. Accepting these two verses is vital to every viewer and reader of Revelation. All who do not obey God, however sincere in pursuing the truth of Bible prophecy or anything else, are wasting their time. The 20th verse that Christendom never speaks of is Luke 21:36, and it is powerful. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What are true Christians told to escape? Jesus foretold that immediately preceding his return, great prophecies would slam into a completely unsuspecting, unprepared world. He had just said, "As a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." This coming world punishment is called the Great Tribulation, including the year-long Day of the Lord. Many verses speak of these earth-shattering events and in much greater detail than most could dream. Yet almost none concern themselves with conditions and events that Jesus plainly states will affect everyone on the entirety of the planet and how one can escape all that is coming. For more on the counterfeit system, read The White Horse, Many Shall Come in My Name. It carries much more understanding about Jesus' warning of how false Christianity was to appear soon after his ascension to heaven. The Bible's meaning and purpose is always greater than what men concoct. Now ask, why have you not been taught these 20 verses? How can such amazing understanding, so obvious in the Bible, remain hidden and for so long? Believe me, there is much more that has been hidden that we could cover. Your eyes have been opened to truths closed to others. Will you believe these verses or common misconceptions and errors taught about them throughout supposed Christianity? Will you return to deception or act on what you have learned? The right choice means learning many more marvelous truths from God's instruction manual for mankind. Get started on the journey. Time is short. Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To order literature featured in this program, call toll-free 1-855-828-4646. That number again, 1-855-828-4646.